The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Take your Bible and let's go to Nehemiah chapter number 4, if you will, and we'll not be long tonight. Nehemiah is a wonderful book, and I thank the Lord for the many applications of the truth that's found in this great book. Of course, the children of Israel had been taken captive, and Jerusalem had been invaded, the temple had been destroyed, and over the years, those who God appointed went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel, and then Ezra later to repair the temple. And yet many of the Jews remained captive in Babylon, and one day God got a hold of a young man's heart by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was troubled because while the temple had been rebuilt in Jerusalem, the walls that surrounded the city were still broken down. And as a result of that, Jerusalem and the temple and all that stood for God and right was very vulnerable to the enemy. And so Nehemiah, of course, becomes burdened as he hears the news that the walls of Jerusalem are in shambles and in ill repair. And so he is noticed by the king as having a heavy heart, a fallen countenance. He's asked what the trouble is, and of course he shares this with the king. And the king allows Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, I call your attention to verse number 6, where it says, "So built we the wall." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah was commissioned by God to do a great work. And whenever God is involved in something, it is a great work. It doesn't really matter what it is. If God has commissioned it, if God has appointed it, then it is a great work. Now, all of God's work is great. It's not always an easy task when God calls us to do a work for Him. Oftentimes that work can be quite costly. But God's work is a great work. And for that work to be accomplished in God's way and in God's timing, it requires a team. Now we know that it is God that ultimately does the work. It's God that ultimately accomplishes what He sets out to do. But aren't you glad that God chooses people? God chooses you and I to become involved in that work. I think of the Apostle Paul's words who said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It was obvious to Paul that it wasn't because of him that someone got saved. It wasn't because of Apollos that someone had gotten right with God, or that a church had been planted, or that lives had been restored. It was because of God. But Paul and Apollos and many of these men in New Testament times, as well as old, understood the fact that God wanted to use them. The work of West Coast Baptist College certainly requires a team. 19 years ago, now almost 20 years ago, when West Coast Baptist College was founded, that very first year, we established what was called the Founders Club. It was a group of church members at Lancaster Baptist Church that every week would pray for the college, would volunteer to serve meals, would give a little bit of extra money each week to help the college above their tithes, their offerings, their giving to missions, their giving to building programs, but to help the college become established. And that small group of people was used mightily in those early days to get the college up and running. After a few years, we decided that perhaps the Founders Club was a little bit archaic as the college was now going forward and growing. And so we changed the name to Partners in Ministry. And so for these past now 19 years, people from Lancaster Baptist Church have been involved on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, praying for, serving in, and helping financially the great work that God has raised up here. Now, we find in the book of Nehemiah that this wall that was commissioned by God for Nehemiah to build was finished in just 52 days. It's a phenomenal story. It's an amazing work. Well, the work at West Coast Baptist College isn't finished yet. While we approach our 20th year, there is still much to be done, much to be accomplished, because the need of the world continues to grow. And while 1,600 or so laborers have been sent out from West Coast Baptist College, the need for laborers continues to grow. The world population continues to increase. Cities continue to be found that have no Bible preaching church. And so the need grows, and so thus the work continues on. As we look at chapter 4 tonight of Nehemiah, I want you to see five components to building a work for God as a team. First of all, as we noted in verse number 6, there was a mind to work. A mind to work. The people had a mind to work. The ministry doesn't just happen. I think if you've been around here any length of time at all and have rolled up your sleeves and gotten involved in some aspect of Lancaster Baptist Church, you understand it doesn't just happen. If next Sunday on Easter morning there's going to be a crowd of people here, it's not going to just happen. If the choir is going to sing, if the orchestra is going to play, if pastor is going to preach, if people are going to be served, if people are going to trust Christ, it's going to take some work. The man that desires the office of a bishop, God says, desires a good work. And certainly the ministry involves work. And I think of West Coast Baptist College, I think of the hours and hours and hours that our pastor has spent thinking about, working in, planning, strategizing, preaching, counseling that West Coast Baptist College might exist. I think of our deacons who spend much time in prayer and much time in planning in their meetings to help the West Coast Baptist College. I think of our administration. I think of our teachers, our staff, our secretaries, our food service, the maintenance people, the recruitment aspect. All of this requires work, and over these 19 years, thank God, there has been a mind to work. Now, a mind to work comes from a committed heart. In Psalm 57 and verse 7, the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed, O God. O God, my heart is fixed." And I'm thankful for a pastor that didn't just think, well, let's have a Bible college, and after a few years decided, well, maybe that wasn't a good idea. I'm thankful for a church family that over the years, as the college has grown and more students have come in, that it hasn't been something that, well, you know, we really don't like this anymore. But there's been a heart here at Lancaster Baptist Church that has been committed to the work of raising up a generation for the cause of Christ. As I think back on these years of the college, we could never have hired all the people to do the job. There's just no way. Even if we could have hired them, we couldn't have paid them. But because of people in this church who had a mind to work, a mind to perhaps help a college student, or perhaps serve a meal, or perhaps pick someone up at an airport, or type a letter, whatever the case might have been, to pray, to give, so the work could be accomplished. God promises if we seek the Lord, we'll find Him when we search for Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. There was a committed heart to do this work, but we also see cooperating hands. There was a mind, there was a committed heart, but there was a mind to work. Their heart was in it, but so were their hands. I was thinking these past couple of weeks in preparation for tonight, and I don't know how in the world it would ever be calculated, but I wonder how many letters in the last 19 years have been typed and placed in an envelope and sent out from West Coast Baptist College. I wonder how many bathrooms have been cleaned. I wonder how many meals have been prepared. I wonder how many trips to LAX. I wonder how many sermons have been preached, not just from the pulpit in chapel, but in dormitories or in various venues of ministry opportunity. wonder how many lectures have been prepared and delivered. How many counseling sessions? How many times the grass has been mowed? Or a tumbleweed picked up? Or a trash can emptied? Or some little data entered into a computer? Thousands, perhaps millions of tasks have been done because of cooperating hands. A job that no one could do by themselves. A small team of just staff could never accomplish. But because there is a mind to work, it is done for the glory of God. Here was a mind to work. But whenever there's a work of God being done, we see, as we see it here, a mission to wreck. In verse number 7, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." And when I look at this passage, I see that there was a unified adversary. I look at these various people and groups that are mentioned here, and really I can't find that they had anything in common except to try to wreck the work of God. They weren't allies, they weren't friends necessarily, but the devil was working in all of their hearts to try to stop the work of God. And over these years, whether it's been the state of California who has challenged us with various issues and at times tried to thwart the work of God of the college, or whether it's been a critic from the outside or whether a disgruntled student from the inside, there is always adversity to the work of God. Satan attacks his work. Satan is always standing at our right hand, ready to resist us. And he unifies this adversary with an ungodly anger. If you notice there in verse number 7, they were very wroth. Understand something tonight, that we do live in a culture that's very much anti-God. And we certainly know there's a devil that's very much against what you heard these three young people up here a moment ago talk about. The devil doesn't want anybody going to Beijing, China. The devil doesn't want any more assistant pastors. The devil doesn't want any more church planters. The devil doesn't want any more cities reached or people saved. The devil is going to do everything he can to hinder the work of God. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." By the way, as West Coast Baptist College, we're not trying to get the world to like us. We're trying to get God to like us. Everything we do here in this place is for the glory of God. That God might be pleased, that God might show favor, that God might look our way, that God might empower these young people and provide for them and take them to the ends of the world with the gospel. Oh, there was a mission to wreck. And that's why it was so important that we see, thirdly, a mandate to watch. In verse number 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." I see here a daily prayer. Because of the magnitude of this work, because of the malice of the wicked, they needed an army of people to partner with them in prayer. Can I say that while Nehemiah was doing a great work in building these walls, I believe that the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College are doing a great work to build the lives of these young people. And we need an army of people who will partner to pray. A daily prayer. I want to challenge you tonight to take that card from out of the bulletin and read that first part. Place your name there. Place your address there. And promise to pray daily or weekly for the college. That is something that every person in this auditorium can do tonight. Every young person, every teenager, every mom and dad, every senior saint, all of us can have a ministry of prayer. And because the work is great and because the enemy is real, we need daily prayer. Why do we need prayer? Well, for divine protection. These enemies were trying to hinder the work of God. They were trying to destroy the work of God. And so we need prayer. We need people who will enter into the supernatural battle of prayer. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Listen, it doesn't matter when you decide to pray. Around here, there's somebody always needing it. If you don't believe that, just come around here about 9:30 at night. This place is hopping. This place is, college kids, morning doesn't start until 10:30. You know, all these kids are morning kids if morning starts at 10:30. But about 11 o'clock at night, they're ready to go. And there's always something going on this campus. Many of our students work all night just to pay their school bill. They need your prayers. Many times early in the morning, young people are up having their devotions, getting some exercise, getting ready for classes at 7:30. It doesn't matter what time you choose to pray. We need your prayers. And by the way, there are 1,600 graduates around this globe tonight, and the sun never sets on West Coast Baptist College alumni. It doesn't matter when you are alerted in your heart to pray. There's somebody preaching the gospel. There's somebody teaching a class. There's somebody witnessing to a lost person. We need you to pray. Will you pray for the college? Will you partner with us in prayer? I was studying this past week for some lectures I'm going to be giving in El Salvador in June, and I was studying the revival at Ephesus. And how Paul was engaged in a tremendous battle there in a wicked city, a city that was given over to idolatry, and the great temple of Diana and all the rest that went with it, and a riot ensued, and Paul barely escaped for his life. And it was during that time of ministry at Ephesus that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And he explained the battle that he was in. But he says those simple words toward the end of that letter, "Brethren, pray for us." Can I tell you that every day in the hearts of students here at West Coast Baptist College, there's a battle. The devil is trying to get some of them out of the battle. He's trying to get them out of the ministry. There are teachers who are discouraged and need encouragement. There's always a need here at West Coast Baptist College, and we need you to pray for us. And then Nehemiah tells us there was a measure of weight. In verse number 10, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." One of the reasons we need your help as a partner in ministry tonight is because there's much rubbish. Sometimes we're dealing with the rubbish of sin. You see, it's sin that stops God's power. It's sin that stops God's provision, that stops God's protection. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it will not hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 25, "Your iniquities have withholden good things from you." The devil knows that he can stop the ministry of West Coast Baptist College if he can just kind of get in a little sin into the camp. And so there needs to be prayer because there's a measure of weight. Pray for our faculty. Pray for our students. Pray a hedge of protection around them from sin. And not only is there the rubbish of sin, but there's the rubbish of self. The end of West Coast Baptist College will be the moment that we start thinking it's us that's doing it. Now, people say a lot of nice things about Lancaster Baptist Church and about West Coast Baptist College. If you come to chapel someday at 10:30, you'll probably hear a guest preacher say how great we are. But the minute we start thinking it's us is the end. The rubbish of self. Friends, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And the rubbish of self oftentimes stops the work of God. All God asks us to do is abide in Him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And we must be reminded of that every day. One of the great Protestant reformers once said, "The world by God was made out of nothing. And it is not until we become nothing that God can make something out of us." We need to be constantly reminded of the rubbish of sin, the rubbish of self that gets in the way of the great work that God wants us to do. But then I see finally tonight a merging of workers. Look at verse number 16 as we move down through the text. In verse 16, "It came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbingens, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." Do you see the merging of workers here? There were those who were there to build. Their primary task was with a trowel, with some cement, to put that wall back in place. And they were there to build. It was their task. It was their opportunity to serve God. And they were focused on that wall. Their object was to build the wall. And I think about those who labor here daily in the college. Teachers, staff members, building. Every day, the lives of young people, whether it's an office worker, whether it's someone fixing a meal, whether it's somebody cleaning a building, it doesn't matter really, but there are those who are in the upfront, in the trenches, trying to build a work for God. But there were also those who were battlers. There were those who held the sword. While some builded, while some devoted their entire lives to building this wall, there were others who stood guard against the enemy. And I think in application tonight, it certainly would be those who pray. Those who battle on the prayer front. As we said a moment ago, there is the enemy. There is the one trying to thwart the work, to hinder the building of lives. We need those to pray, to enter into that supernatural battle of prayer so that others can give themselves to the objective of building the wall. But then we also see those who are willing to bear. In verse number 17, "They which build it on the wall and they that bear burdens." There were those who came alongside the builders. There were those who came alongside the battlers. They were there to bear some of the burden, to perhaps help in the work in any way that they possibly could. And I think of West Coast Baptist College, and certainly I think of those who are in the classroom every day teaching the young people, and those who are fixing meals and serving buildings and so on. And I think of the many of you who over the years have prayed daily for the college, standing behind us in battle against Satan. But then I think of the many who have just come alongside as partners in ministry. And whether it was serving a meal or going to an airport or giving a few dollars monthly to help with some of the costs, whether it was painting a wall or encouraging a student or signing up as a TLC mom to maybe encourage someone through a note or a candy bar, there were those who were willing to come along as partners and bear some of the load. Builders, battlers, bearers. That's what Partners in Ministry tonight is all about. This past week, I received a letter dated on Monday, April the 7th. It's from a man who was here just a week ago at our youth conference. He's 78 years old. You thought youth conference was for teenagers. "Thank you for the great job of presenting the life story of the late evangelist Billy Sunday as a baseball player who was called to preach the gospel. The youth conference theme, Higher Call. The drama, the preaching, it was all a home run. The fun began the moment we arrived on campus. As we walked into the Revels building, we were greeted and handed a bottle of water and a hot dog with a big smile. Please say thank you to the students and many of the Lancaster Baptist Church people who are helping out as well. We had 16s come to the conference this year, and by Friday, all of them had answered to the higher call. One of the teens will be coming to West Coast this fall, Lord willing, and the others, younger, gave their lives to the Lord to serve Him. I just came with our youth pastor and his wife. Another man in our church, Brother Mike, helped us to drive to the conference. On Friday morning at the higher call, Mike surrendered at 30 years of age to the ministry. He tells how, as a 78-year-old man, be 79 in May, was saved 62 years ago. And he said, I've been serving Sunday school, as a bus driver, bus captain, junior church ministry. He says, my wife and I have been serving as best we can throughout our lives. But he said, Friday morning, I renewed my higher call to hold up the arms of my pastor and our youth pastor to help grow the church with God's help. On Saturday when I got back, I went out soul winning to try to cover our city with the gospel. You know why a man at 78 years of age went back home last week after a conference here to partner with his pastor and his church? Because people here for 19 years have been partnering with our pastor to build West Coast Baptist College. And if we're going to continue to have an impact, not only in the lives of these students, but in the thousands more that will come, and have an impact on this world, we need partners in ministry. Yes, we need builders. We need those that can teach, and we need those that can be in the classroom, and we need those with the expertise in the offices to do all of the work that's required on a day-to-day basis. But we need some people that maybe the students, maybe the people who come for youth conference will never meet, but will be on their knees battling so the work can continue. And then we need those who will come alongside and give up some time, give up some resources, put a few dollars in the offering here and there monthly to help with partners in ministry. Why? Because together, there's a great work that needs to be done. It won't get done in 52 days. But if the Lord gives us a few more years, I believe we can see a great impact in the world for Jesus Christ by building, not a wall, but by building some lives of some precious young people like the three you heard tonight that are going to go out and serve Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer.